Our theme verse for our Advent services today is the second part of Romans 13, verse 12. So put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I wonder how many of you have ever enjoyed the adventure of going out and going to a tree farm or into your own backyard if you have a nice woody area, or maybe your neighbor's backyard with his permission to cut down a fresh tree for yourselves to use as your Christmas tree for the year. I saw some smiles in our early service, and I was sure those people had some memories coming back about that. After hauling the best tree you can find and loading it in your vehicle and muscling into the house, you're not done, are you? There's still a lot of work to do. And I've always found with cut trees, although I like them, that the biggest challenge is getting a trunk to fill in the Christmas stand that I had. It was the main challenge I had to putting up the tree. And one of the reasons that in last year's we sort of stayed away from fresh cut trees. After you get the tree standing up, of course, and you take a look at it, you may see you don't have the best front of the tree facing you, so you may want to rotate a little bit so you have the best one. And once the position of the tree has been accomplished, people generally step back, take a breath, enjoy the beauty of the tree. If it's freshly cut, there will be a nice scent usually also. But there's something about that I never realized before I went to prepare this message for today. And it is that while the tree is generally very pretty, after you look at it a while in a room, you realize it's sort of shrouded by darkness. It's usually the darkest thing in your room. And, of course, practically everyone puts lights on the tree and decorates it with ornaments and sometimes tinsel. This brings out the beauty of the tree and it becomes a sparkling source of light that usually lights up the entire room. In one way or another, most Christians are busy during the Advent season readying their home with lights and decorations. Okay? I know I'm busy these days under the direction of my wife, okay? She's in charge of the decorations and the tree and things like that. And when you get all the lights on, the lights have a purpose. Light means a lot to a Christian, okay? In the case of the Christmas tree, it should remind us that we are celebrating that Jesus Christ entered human history as the light of the world, to shine through the darkness of sin and death. And in our text from Romans 13 tonight, Paul also speaks of being prepared for Christ, the light of the world. And we, of course, at this time of year celebrate Christmas and God keeping His promises and sending a Savior, but it's really linked, and this is very important, to another coming of Jesus Christ. The day that Paul wants us to be prepared for, that he's talking about here, is not Christmas. He wants us to be spiritually prepared for Christ's second coming. That's the day of days, when Christ will return in splendor and power and with all of the heavenly angels. Now, earlier in Paul's writings in Romans, if you look through them, he gently reminds us that we are all sinners and by nature can be attracted to some of the things of the darkness. If you stop to think about it, not much good, if anything, happens in the darkness of the world. Many of the sins that we get ourselves into happen in the dark, don't they? At times when no one can see them. So it is that Paul encourages us to put away the works that are hidden by darkness. And he says, as was read earlier, let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. If we want to be honest with ourselves, the list of the things of darkness is probably quite a bit longer than these things. You hit some of the main things here, but there are other things. Paul wrote this today. It's almost a cinch he would have added about the drug problem, which is of epidemic proportion in many states, and even is a very big problem here in Geauga County. We, as God's dearly loved children, have been called to be something above that. We have been called to be children of the light. I think you heard that recently, the title of one of our messages. We are set apart from the world. Yes, it's difficult, and it's always been difficult because of our sinful nature to live as we should. And it seems to be becoming increasingly difficult in our country, but that's God's expectation. And if we realize we need help, we get help. As human beings, too often, pastors as well as people, I'm not preaching at you, I'm saying this is a common problem, can be drawn to things of the darkness and mesmerized by it. I've lived long enough to see the lives of some pretty good Christians ruined by getting caught up in some really bad things of darkness, and I'm sorry to tell you that includes three pastors that I know very well, two of them good friends. So Paul's words are for all of us and remind us, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And I have a question for you tonight. And I'm asking you to examine yourself. I'm not up here examining anyone except myself. Is there an area of your life now that it could be said it's part of the darkness? It's wrong. It sort of has you in its clutches. It's holding you back. It's pulling you down. And people may not know this, but it may very well be keeping you from being the light in the world that Jesus calls us to be. If so, there's good news. It's of our relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. We have been told if we confess it to the Lord and ask His help in abandoning it and following the way of Christ, we will get help from the Lord if we're serious about this. We should do this not because we're afraid of God. God loves us. His Son died for us. And He has continued to show His love for us. And we need to respond, realizing who we are. We're part of His family. We are children of God. There's an expectation on how we're going to live our lives. And God is here to help us in a number of ways. First of all, under a darkened sky on Good Friday, Jesus was crucified to pierce the darkness. He fulfilled many prophecies that God had made over a couple thousand years through the prophets that He would send a Savior. And God's love for us did not end. His being there for us did not end when Jesus died on the cross. He still loves us. That's why He had this plan to redeem His creation. And that love continues to shine through Christ. In addition to that, the Lord has given us the Holy Spirit. In word, in God's word, and in sacrament. And that helps strengthen and renew the saving faith that He has given us. Through God's grace, we know we've been forgiven. But along with that, we don't want to miss tonight, we can also be empowered by our contact with the things of God. We are empowered to live the righteous life that God has called us to live in and to correct those things that are wrong. So Paul calls on us to put on the armor of light. There's another phrase in the Holy Scriptures very similar to this, and it's pretty much the same meaning, just has a different word. That's in Ephesians 6. You may have already thought of this. We're also told not only to put on the armor of light, but put on the armor of God. And Ephesians 6, there are specific directions given to us on how to do that. One of the things that's mentioned is putting on the belt of truth. And that's very important for a Christian. The breastplate of righteousness. The sandals of readiness. Got to be alert. Got to be ready. The shield of faith. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Do you know what the sword of the Spirit is? The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And Christians who take these things mentioned by Paul in Ephesians 6, take them seriously, are much more likely to be effective Christians and live joy-filled lives. Christians who take these things seriously are much more likely to be little lights for Christ in the world, bringing light to areas of the world where there is darkness. They are more likely to enjoy peace in their families, so they have peace with God, to have patience with their children, to express kindness, goodness, and generosity and gentleness, even with people who hurt us. Okay? They are expected and will often exert more self-control than those with people who differ with us. There is one area of our armor of light, or armor of God, that I would have you pay particular attention to tonight. And that is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. I think many of you know that President Terry Cripe of the Ohio District was here last month. And that meeting was open to the congregation. We met in the fellowship hall. He used a screen and everything for his presentation. And he showed a chart of the last 10 years of our congregation. And it was nice to see that our church membership has increased all along the way. Now, that was good. But there was another line also, and that line was the average number of people in church on Sunday. And there was a huge gap between the membership and the average number of church people in church on Sunday, which is, you know, around 210. Okay? Now, I happen to know, because I pay a lot of attention to these sort of things, and on the websites, I go around and I look at churches in our circuit, and I look at churches outside, Lutheran churches outside here, and St. Mark compares fairly favorably with other churches as far as the percentage of people who are members who are in church on Sunday. But the disturbing thing is, the number of people, the percentage of people, of members in church on Sunday has been slowly declining in the United States for some time. Do you know that in some of the countries of Europe, it's down around, I'm glad you're seated, 5%. We're talking about these being Christian countries, down around 5% that are attending church. So this is a problem not just in the Lutheran Church, it's a problem that crosses denominational lines. A recent survey of Bible reading in our country indicates that only 13% of Christians read their Bible frequently. I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty, I'm just pointing out for each of us to examine ourselves a possible weakness in our life. Because our spiritual power doesn't come from us. It comes from the Lord. It comes from His working through the means of grace, the Word, and the sacrament. And I can only say that during my lifetime, and I can't see the heart, and I know that, but during my lifetime, I believe I have seen a tremendous correlation between a person's spiritual strength and their frequent attention to God's Word and the Holy Sacrament. Yes, I'm sure there are exceptions, but there is seems to be a very strong relationship there. And the point I'm trying to make is, you can have all sorts of lights on the tree, but if the string is not plugged in, they're not going to be shining. And we can say the same thing about Christians. It's great that we believe in Jesus and that's how we're saved. But as I explained to one man in the past year, you came to believe in Jesus because you heard the word. Don't you think you need to hear that word and partake of the sacrament to keep that faith and strengthen it? That's how we got faith. That's how we maintain it. That's how we strengthen it. So my prayer is for all of us that may God this Advent rekindle the light that we have, if that is necessary, or strengthen that light within us, that we might indeed radiate the light of Jesus Christ wherever we go. In His name, amen.